Father, thank you for your patience with us. Some of us have been believers for a lot of years. And even though we've been believers for a lot of years, doesn't mean that we have always been faithful. We may have been faithful to church attendance. We may have been faithful at reading our Bibles. But when it comes to everyday life, where the rubber meets the road, in our jobs, in our marriages, raising our children, reaching our neighbors, reaching the world, sometimes we failed greatly, and yet you have been faithful to us. And that should humble us. If you were like us, if you were like me, there wouldn't be the patience. There wouldn't be the grace and mercy new every day. If you were like me, there would be little hope for any of us. But you're not like me. Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are higher. And today, we're going to be looking at a proverb that reminds us that we are to heed your way, listen to your word, follow the path that you have laid before us. So help us to ask for a clean slate right now, that we can make a difference in the time that we have left to bring you the honor and the glory that you deserve every day of our lives. And we pray also for those who are not with us this morning. There are several reasons for each one, for their particular situation, and I would ask that you would be ministering to them and bring them back to us soon. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know how many of you, I'm sure most of you have at least got a little bit of a glimpse of the Olympics that's been going on for the last couple of weeks. I have to confess, I really haven't watched a whole lot of the Olympics. I did watch last night the girls' basketball 3-on-3, U.S. got the gold, if I remember right. But you know, these Olympians, these are the best in the world. And not one of those Olympians just woke up one day last year and said, I'm going to go to the Olympics in 2021. No. Each of those Olympians have been disciplining their lives for years. They have been seeking the best coaches possible. They weren't looking for coaches that were just trying to help them to have a great feeling and emotional experience about the sport that they were participating in. They weren't looking for coaches that just kind of encouraged them and patted them on the back regardless of how well they performed. They were looking for coaches that would push them to the extreme, that would never let them let up. And as Kara sang this song, that they're doing that for a prize. They were going for the gold. They'd settle for the silver. In fact, I saw one particular event last night where they were going for the bronze, and they were pretty excited to get the bronze. But they wanted to be the best. You know, there's things that are far more important than a medal, a prize. Kara's song reminded us that we are running a race much different than an Olympian. The race that we are on as believers is far more important than any event that was at the Olympics. The life that we are to be living is to be one that we discipline ourselves in a very similar way, to where we endure and persevere when the body is telling us you don't feel like it. Yet you know that there's only one life and will soon be passed. And the only thing that's really going to matter is what we've done for our Lord and Savior. So there are things that are far more important than gold or silver or bronze or rubies or, as we're going to see this morning, anything that you could desire. There's something far more precious and important for believers than gold. And of course, it's wisdom. It's wisdom. However, wisdom must be pursued with passion. It has to be something that I push myself for. I drive, and I understand that in myself there is no strength. And so I must discipline myself. I discipline myself by dying to self and taking the strength that only Christ can give to me. And so with that passion and with that discipline, there is that endurance that never lets up, never gives up. In this world in which we live, there are two types of wisdom. There is a wisdom that is known by the world in which we live. And sadly, it is a wisdom that many people push for, strive to allow this to be what guides and directs them. And then there's the wisdom of God. And what we don't understand is that the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of God is day and night. Let me just give you a few examples. The wisdom of this world can be noticed by a boastful spirit. It's a prideful spirit. The wisdom of today says you are important. You are number one. You take the bull by the horns. You have to grab a hold of this thing. So the wisdom of this world is very self-centered, and it is certainly seen with kind of a boastful, prideful, arrogant, strong, intimidating type of appearance. Quite different than the wisdom of God. The telltale sign of wisdom from God is just the opposite. It's a meek spirit. It's a humble spirit. It's a surrendering spirit, in a sense that it places others before ourselves. It's the mindset that Jesus first, others second, me last. And that seems foolishness to the world we live in. I mean, the culture we live in, that's the weak person. That is not the person you want to look like. You want to be that person that is known for his strength, for his voice, for his power, for his influence. Isn't it interesting that Moses is recorded in the scriptures as the meekest man to walk on earth? And what do we recognize him for? Leadership, closeness to God. So anyway, these are day and night. But another thing about the wisdom of the world, it is self-centered, and so there's a lot of bitterness and jealousy when things turn out differently than we had planned or had hoped for, when someone else is elevated and we seem to be not elevated. The wisdom of this world is very selfish in its ambition and its drive. It's thinking of ourself, whereas the wisdom of God is God-centered. It's Christ-centered. And it's pure and it's sincere. Even though we are cracked pots, yet we're still striving to have that integrity. And the wisdom of this world, its motivation is peaceable. It's not trying to win a war. It's not trying to win an argument. It's not trying to prove that I was right and you were wrong. No, the wisdom of God is peaceable. The wisdom of this world is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. That's a topic that we don't talk much about today. But I assure you that if the demonic world was real in Jesus' day, the demonic world is real today. And the characteristics are very worldly. But the characteristics of godly wisdom is a gentle spirit, open to reason, full of mercy, impartial, And of course, it's from above. It's coming from God. Very different than the wisdom of this world in which we live. The wisdom of today produces bad fruits. It brings about disorder. That's relevant to the culture and the day that we live in, isn't it? What do we find in our culture today? A lot of disorder. And with it comes every vile practice. Of course, when you're self-centered and your goal is me, it's amazing the fruits that come from that in our lives. But just the opposite with godly wisdom, there are good fruits that come with that. It's fruits of harvest, of righteous harvest. It's peaceful harvest. It's fruits of mercy and grace and tenderness and forgiveness and all of that. So the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God is completely different. I did a search real quickly in an electronic Bible study. I just typed in wisdom is, just to see some of the things that the Bible describes wisdom. If just wisdom is this and wisdom is this. These are just a few of them. Wisdom is with aged men. As Bill Brewer would remind us, sometimes age comes alone, but wisdom is supposed to come along with age. Wisdom is above rubies, we're told in Job. Both of these are in Job. Wisdom is above rubies, something that we treasure and desire, rubies, earthly things. Proverbs 4 told us that wisdom was the principal thing. If there's nothing else you get out of this life, the most important thing that you get, the principal thing in all of this is get wisdom. It will affect everything you do. Wisdom will help you in your thought process. Wisdom will help you in your response process. Wisdom will guide your steps and keep you safe. Wisdom is better than rubies. We're going to find that in our passage today. And above all the things that you may desire, wisdom is too lofty for a fool. The things that we just saw earlier, the comparison between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom, those of this world, the fool looks over here at this list and says, that's craziness. So wisdom is too lofty for a fool. These next two are pretty important for us to think about. Found in Ecclesiastes, but the first one says, wisdom is better than strength. Wisdom is better than strength. In fact, Solomon actually said wisdom is better than weapons of war. We're living in a time where separation, sides are being taken. And Solomon said, listen, I want you to know something. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. You see, sometimes just winning a battle doesn't bring you victory. Just winning an argument doesn't give you the victory. You can win a victory, or you can win an argument, you can win a fight, you can win a war, and still lose. If our goal wasn't to bring glory to God, if it was only my wants, my desires, my hopes, my whatever. So we need to think about that. Another thing, wisdom does not come naturally, nor automatically. I was just talking with someone out in the foyer earlier. It'd be nice that all we had to do was come to the point where we recognize we were sinners, come to know Christ as our Savior, commit our lives to Him, and boom, we're there. We're mature. It doesn't happen. Wisdom doesn't come naturally, nor does it come automatically, but it is available. James makes that very clear. If anyone lacks wisdom, what does he have to do? He has to ask. But he has to be sincere in his asking and his seeking. Because James goes on to say that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So the idea there is to desire wisdom, is to desire wisdom for the glory of God, and it's to want wisdom so bad that we are striving for it. And it's that principal thing that we want, that we might live our lives in a way that brings God glory. So whether I eat or drink or whatever I do all for the glory of God. And so that's what we need to understand. So take your Bibles, go with me to Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is where we finally come. And if you're familiar with the book of Proverbs and the layout of it, you might note that we are just about to the point where Proverbs is going to make a change. The first nine chapters of Proverbs are really the easy Proverbs. There's often a theme that flows through the proverb. But after Proverbs 9, then we move into the Proverbs that are just filled with golden nuggets, little truths that we can just almost become overwhelmed as we look at them. And I'm not exactly sure how we're going to tackle all of that, but we are going to do that because we want wisdom. But follow with me as I begin to read chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the evil way, and the perverse mouth. I hate counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me. We'll come back to that thought. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches and righteousness, better fruit. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. It's going to stop there. But in this proverb, we're learning that wisdom is saying, listen, folks, those of you that dwell on this world, this earth, there is a way that is right and honoring and glorifying to God, and I desire that you know it. And she speaks out to us. So we're going to look at that. So wisdom makes life worth living. Isn't it interesting that these last couple of years, the suicide rate has just gone out of the roof? Seems like the younger you are, the higher that it rates on the scale. I mean, it's one of the, suicide right now is one of the leading causes of death. When you get down into teenagers and early teens, I can't remember if it's the leading or the second cause of death for teenagers in early 20s. And I think when you get into the 30s and the 40s, it's like fourth cause of death. But wisdom gives you reason to live, because when you follow wisdom, you're living for the glory of God, and you understand this is not my home. I'm only here temporarily. And so that's what we're going to learn in Proverbs 8. We're going to learn that our coach has credentials. We are to listen to her instruction. Our coach is wisdom, by the way, if you haven't figured that out. Wisdom is our coach. We are to follow her instructions, and we are to run to win, pursuing the wisdom. I didn't read our coach's credentials, and I'll just look at them briefly with you because it's not really what I want to focus on. But the last part of chapter 8 deals with the credentials that we find here of wisdom. And if we look at them, we find that wisdom is
older than dirt. She has God's recommendation, and she's older than dirt. In fact, the last few verses of chapter 8, some have tried to take this, for instance, the Jehovah Witnesses, to show that wisdom and Jesus Christ are kind of one of the same. And those that want to lose the masculinity of God will maybe come here. But this isn't, some of the descriptions we find here are similar to that which we would find of Christ. He was always from the beginning, all of creation. But it's just the very thought that wisdom has always been with God. Wisdom comes from God. Wisdom was in the beginning, and wisdom is still available to all who are willing to listen. You can study that particular part of the proverb later. But wisdom has been around a long time, and she knows what she's talking about. And when she cries out, we ought to listen. Second thing, we need to listen. Can you imagine an Olympian, how long a coach would work with that individual if that individual wasn't willing to listen? These coaches are the best coaches. I doubt that they have a lot of endurance for someone who's just playing games. Who really isn't interested in the goal. They might want to go to the Olympics because they want to have a great time. I doubt that those coaches have a whole lot of patience for those individuals. And wisdom is one who calls out to us, and we need to listen. Let's just look at those first few verses again. Does not wisdom cry out? And understanding lift her voice. Have you ever been just reading your Bible and God kind of punches you in the nose? You come across that verse that just stands out and says, whoa, boy, we need to make some adjustments here, don't we? But wisdom wants our attention. She wants us to hear. Verse 3, she cries out in the gates, in the entry of the city, entrance of the doors. There's no excuse, really. How many of you own a Bible? Don't raise your hands. You all do. How long have you had that Bible? Well, we've had it a long time. Probably isn't even the first Bible you've had. How many translations have you got? Well, for some of us, we've got several translations. How long have you been reading it? Oh, boy, I've been reading it a long time. Why haven't you changed? Somebody could ask us. Why is it that you're still just like you always were? Wisdom cries out. Wisdom says, listen. Remember, I told you that wisdom doesn't come naturally. Wisdom doesn't come automatically. Wisdom is something that we need to really want. Wisdom is available. God says anybody that wants wisdom, anybody that truly comes to him, begging him, asking him, pleading him for the wisdom to live their lives, to make wise decisions in everything they do, he is there to supply that. We teach our children in Awana, or at least Awana has the theme verse. Maybe we don't teach our children this, but it's part of the plan is to teach them to study. Why? To show yourself approved. Approved to who? Approved to God. You're his child. He's given you instructions. Take those instructions and do what the psalmist said. Take his word, hide it in your heart for a purpose, that I might not sin against God. That's the call. So wisdom is calling for us and asking for our attention, and we are to listen. It's available 24/7. It's there. All we got to do is dive into it. Even though the writer of the proverb here doesn't tell us this, we are told elsewhere. And certainly, if this is one of Solomon's proverbs, then he certainly tells us in Ecclesiastes that hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Life is vanity apart from God. So Solomon closes it up by saying, listen to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And one day he will bring everything to the forefront, and we will be accountable for the good and the bad. So wisdom is crying, and we need to listen.
But don't you just hate it when when your child listens to you and then doesn't follow through? Did you not just hear what I said? What part of no did you not understand? Sometimes I think God's kind of that way too with us, especially when we come to this particular section of chapter 8. We're to follow her instructions. And I just want to read these verses 9 through 11 again with you, and then we'll come back and break it down. But verse 9 in the New King James, and the King James says, they, talking about the instructions of wisdom, they are all plain to him who understands. Some translations will say straight and some will say right, but I sure like that word that the King James, the New King James uses, plain. We'll talk about that in a moment. It goes on in verse 9, and write to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. So we find that wisdom is both plain and precious. Let me use this word plain. I just really like it because I think God's word is plain. It's clear. It's straightforward is another way the word can be translated. Straightforward. None of us can find reason to excuse our behavior that we don't understand, we didn't quite comprehend. Let me illustrate. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments, all right? Which of the Ten Commandments do we have trouble understanding? You shall have one God, only one God. You shall not make any other God. What more do I have to say to understand that? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Never make God's word ordinary and common. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Do we need any elaboration? You shall not bear false witness. What is it that we don't understand from the Ten Commandments? Let's go a little farther. When Paul says to Timothy, flee youthful lust, what part of that needs to be expounded on? Let's move to the family. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Seems pretty plain. Wives, submit to your own husband as the church submits to Christ. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. What more has to be explained? Lay not treasures up here upon the earth, but lay your treasures up in heaven, for where your treasures are, that is where your heart will be also. Are you following this? Alistair Begg, he harps on this all the time. He says, make the plain things the main things, and the main things are the plain things. In other words, why is it that we get all tangled up in stuff? We have all these questions about things that maybe aren't clear, but God is pretty clear on how we live our lives. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Bless those who curse you and persecute you. Love your enemy. We all want this stuff explained. It can't mean what it says. It's got to mean something else. What is there that we can add to this so that I don't have to live up to this? No, the proverb says, look, wisdom is crying out. Wisdom has instructions. And we are to have an ear to listen. And then we're learning that instructions are pretty clear. We really have no excuses. We really don't. Draw near to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from us. We can go to the Beatitudes. There is so much. When it's very clear how God wants you to live your life and how he wants me to live my life. And I mean, the whole purpose of living our lives is, as I said earlier, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do all for the glory of God. It's pretty clear. I think we're getting that. So our coach is, she's very wise. She's been around since the very beginning. Her instruction is available. She's crying out to us. What is it you're not hearing? And then we're to follow those instructions as well. And then we're to run to win. We're to pursue that wisdom. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we've been told, and the fear of God is certainly knowledge. But now we're told that true fear of God is to hate evil. The scripture describes people who have no fear of God in their eyes. And those are people who live their lives as if they don't have to give an account. They are people who live their lives as if God is not going to hold them accountable. And I'm afraid that we're living at a time where the whole image of God has been distorted. What do I mean by that? I mean that oftentimes when we're talking with people and we're talking about God, the image that they have of God is much different than the image that God has given to us of himself. Today we have this image that God is this loving grandfather figure up in heaven sitting on the porch, and he just loves and accepts all of us just the way that we are. Well, there's a verse coming up here that's going to challenge us on that, but it says the fear of God. How do I know if I have the fear of God? How will others know if I have the fear of God? Well, the fear of God is to hate evil. It changes the way we live our lives. God hates evil. I hate evil. But then he goes on. So he says, the fear of God is to hate evil. That's where pride and arrogance and evil way and the perverse mouth, those are gone. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. My kings reign and rulers decree justice. My princes, verse 16, and nobles. Verse 17, I love those who love me. Well, that's a verse to ponder on. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and of course, the scriptures are a revelation of God to us. And so wisdom is saying, I love those who love me. You remember, it wasn't that long ago, chapter 6 of the book of Proverbs, where we learned things that God hates. Remember those? Perverse mouth, arrogance, pride. It even named individuals. Remember, it said even those who cause discord among the brethren. Psalm 5:5, Psalm 11:5 says, God hates all workers of iniquity. See, the culture today, the image that we have of God is he's this grandfather figure. He just loves everybody. His love is available. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But every individual that is outside of the forgiveness of Christ, the wrath of God abides on them now. Romans chapter 1. So his love is available. It's accessible. But until I come to know Christ, I do not, nor does anybody, have this idea, this relationship where God just says, I love you. No. Not until they come to know Christ. Yes, his love is available. And there is a general love. He lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. But if you want to have a love relationship with God, you have to have a relationship with Christ. Maybe that's just a good time to say that if you're here this morning and you've never come to know Christ, you need to know Christ. This is the reason you need to know Christ. Sin has separated us from God. God hates that sin. Not only that sin, but he hates all workers of iniquity. And in fact, there's no way that I can ever have peace with God until I come to know Christ. And today would be a great day for you to just say, God, I am sorry. I recognize I'm a sinner. And I've been a little bit religious here, but I need to know Christ. I want to be forgiven. And so he just says, I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me. And can I just say, and we don't have time to develop all this, there are those that in the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel would like to really hammer on this, that all you got to do is love God and he's going to fill your bank accounts. But the wealth and the riches that God is talking about are not necessarily earthly. Oh, he does bless us beyond what we deserve here on this earth, but wisdom is something we need to pursue. It has good counsel. Don't have time to spell out all of that. Wisdom, understanding, strength, and victory. Love and acceptance, verse 17. True riches, treasures, verse 18. Righteousness in verse 20. Those who pursue wisdom find all of these things. Our Olympians are competing. You might find this interesting. Did you know that these medals that they get, the gold's worth 800, silver 450, and the bronze 5? And they have spent all their lives pursuing something really of such little value. It's recognition, but it's of so little value. In fact, some of us would have trouble naming gold medal athletes from our senior year. Whenever the Olympics would have been close to our senior year, we'd have trouble remembering anybody that won a gold medal back then. We're pursuing something far better, as Kara said in her song. There are things far more precious than gold and its wisdom. But wisdom must be pursued with passion and discipline and endurance. Remember, wisdom is the principal thing. Let's get it. But let's first pray. Father, thank you for the reminder. We get so caught up in this life and all that this life brings with it that we forget why we're here. We've been reminded today that we, as your children, are to become wise, to live wisely, to show a world the right way. And I pray that we would be able to live the life that Kara's song described, a life that is faithful, that causes those who follow behind us, first of all, to believe, but then to obey. Help us to become a wise people. And we'll thank you for what you accomplish in us. If there's anyone here that has yet to come to know Christ, may today be a reminder of their personal need and may they surrender to him. And Father, if I can be of help to anyone here regarding any of this, I would be glad to sit down and talk with them. For we pray in Christ's name, amen.